It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Talk. I am Jenna Barr, and good morning, Mr. Wiggins.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm excited to open up the garden line. We always have a busy Tuesday morning.
We do, and it's so much fun. And you know why it's fun? It's because we get so many phone calls from our listeners who have these great questions. And I'd say maybe 60 to 70% of them we can answer. The other ones
right?
We need to do a little research. But
sometimes they have
eventually,
to wait.
Eventually we get there with the right answer, but we always like to hear from our listeners, like to hear what their successes are. What right now, I'd like to hear what your spring plans are. What are you going to do? What have you done your planning like we talked about? Have
right.
you drawn out your landscaping you want to do this spring? What plants you want to plant, that type of thing? Anyway, those are the conversations that we love to have on the garden line, and we really appreciate everyone who participates.
Yes, please do. If you have a question this week, maybe you're preparing because we have such beautiful weather right now,
man.
And it looks like it's hanging around for us. So thankful for that. Please call us, text us, 437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. We are here for you.
Absolutely. Now, what one thing, and we have talked about this a lot on the garden line in the last 30 days, but when you look at the weather and the temperatures in the day are going to be between 60 and 70, and it's the middle of February, a little bit later, but close, you have got to, if you have had or think you're going to have a weed problem in your yard, you have got to get those pre-emergence liquid or granular, either one, on that lawn. I'd say this week
okay.
would be perfect, because we all see in our yards, even with the cold weather we had, with the 70 degrees coming up, you're going to see the weeds starting to pop up. Let's
mm-hmm.
get that pre-emergence on there, which is going to inhibit much of the weed growth. And I always say it is not perfect. It's not going to get them all, but it will certainly help if you've got the problem. But the other side of that coin is, if last year you were pretty pleased with your yard, it was lush, and you did everything else right, and you really didn't have a weed problem, don't do it. Don't do
okay.
it. There's no sense putting these chemicals on your yard if, in fact, you don't need it. It all goes back to that integrated pest management philosophy that we like to talk about on the garden line, whereas if you don't really need a chemical, don't use it. And if you have a need, use it in the area in which you have the problem, and don't worry about the other areas. So weed and feed, and I say weed and feed, that's probably a wrong term, because we never, ever want people to use a weed and feed fertilizer. We want you to use the weed, the pre-emergence weed control, which you can put out with a liquid like atrazine or permethrin or dimension or one of those, and then we're going to fertilize later.
Right.
Matter of fact, a lot of the literature coming from the state says don't fertilize your lawn until it turns green.
Hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to put the fertilizer on there to make it turn green.
Right, speed up
Wait.
The process.
Yeah, so that puts you putting the fertilizer on your yard in probably April.
Oh.
So not necessarily even in March. Do it probably in April, and you'll be better off if you do that. But the pre-emergence weed control really should be done now, because we are right where all the state parameters are with temperatures in the daytime between 60 and 70 and before a lot of the weeds have emerged.
Sure.
So that's where we are.
Well, let's talk about sod. And we have a listener who just texted in and would like to know, when should I start putting down new sod?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people do it year-round in Pensacola, and you can get away with that. But this time of year, some of the sod you're going to buy is dormant. It's still kind of brown, not really growing. I would prefer to wait maybe another 30 days and let's, if nothing else, be able to inspect the sod that you have purchased. Be sure it doesn't have any weeds. Be sure it's lush. Very important for it to have a nice base to it. So I would tend to wait maybe 30 days, but I'd say as you get into March, I think it's fair game and you can go with it. And you could probably get by with it right now. I see all over town some people putting down sod, especially in commercial landscapings, and it's probably going to be okay. But to be perfectly safe and know what you're buying, I think I would wait maybe to get into mid to late March.
Okay, so just hold off for just a minute with that. Now, what about preparing? Let's say you just kind of have a piece of dirt for a lawn. I don't know. Is that a nice way to say it?
But that's exactly the way to say it.
But it happens throughout the winter with a lot of rain and it washes away. What does one need to do to prepare their grass for success if they've done nothing so far throughout the winter?
Well, I've got to tell you, that's probably one of the most important questions that will be asked when it comes to sodding or putting grass in. Preparation is the key, the absolute key. Because what you do, let's say you've got just an area that's got very, very weak grass. It's just maybe some weeds. It's just an area that you want to resod. Well, what you've got to do is, one, get rid of all that mess that's there already, be it weeds or grass. I like to till it, get a tiller and get in and till it.
Okay.
Rake all that stuff out. Get it flat and soft and weed-free. Get all the sticks and rocks out of it and all of that stuff. And so it's a nice base. Okay, so once you've got that, then if you're going to put in St. Augustine, put down some limestone. Dolomite granular limestone. And that is, you buy it in a 40-pound bag, and you put about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. That's pretty, relatively heavy.
Yeah.
Because what you're trying to do is to get that pH up, because we have acid soil here in Pensacola. That's why camellias and azaleas and all those do so well. Well, centipede does well, too, in a acid soil. But St. Augustine likes it a little more neutral, and that's what the limestone does. So put the limestone in, rake it in. Okay. And then water it. If you've got your sod on a pallet right here, sitting in the street, ready to put in your yard, wet the lawn first, or the dirt, if you will. Wet it first.
Okay.
Don't put it on dry sand or dirt, whatever you've got. Water it first. Then go ahead and put the sod down. And a couple things. Water it every day. Every day for a couple of weeks. I think that's really important. And here's a really interesting one. Over the years, there have been a lot of people that said, okay, if you're going to sod, St. Augustine is a good example. If you're going to sod St. Augustine, you don't want to mow it for like 6 weeks. Well, I don't subscribe to that at all. Mow it when it needs it, but mow it high. Never, ever, ever scalp it. Mow it high. St. Augustine, 4 inches. Gives it a good haircut. But even if you're just kind of clipping the tops off of it.
Right.
4 inches. No lower than 4 inches. That's very important. With a sharp lawnmower blade. And never mow it when it's wet and all of those things.
Excellent. Well, guess what? We have a caller on the line. Dan from Pensacola. Welcome to the Garden Line. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Enjoying your show.
Thanks, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I got my atrazine on standby here. I was going to wait a couple more days so the weather stabilizes above 50 degrees. Should you really just concentrate on where you noticed the weeds last year, or can you spray your whole lawn? I got centipede.
Well, exactly. You can do both. I mean, you could spray the whole yard, and it's probably not going to hurt anything. But just from a environmentally safe aspect, I like to use chemicals where they're needed. And if you've got an area of your centipede yard that was nice and lush and pretty and weed-free, probably no need to go ahead and spray it. But it won't hurt anything. It won't hurt anything insofar as the grass is concerned. You're using the right chemical. That atrazine is good. And as we just said a minute ago, your timing could not be better than doing it right now. But, yes, I would go ahead and do it. And I don't think you'll be doing yourself a disservice if you do the whole yard. But, obviously, you're after those weeds that were in that section where you had the problem. So, yeah, that's how I would approach it. If you want to, being totally environmentally friendly, and save a little money because you don't have to use as much chemical. Yeah, just spray the trouble areas. But quite frankly, with the pre-emergence, you shouldn't hurt anything. But here's the key, Danny. I know you know this, because I think we've talked before. Follow that label. That pre-emergence can give you some problems if you, how do we say it, Jenna? If you're, you know, it's like playing poker. If you try to double up,
okay,
to catch
right.
up, you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
Go, you know, the right amount per gallon, the right number of gallons per square foot, and then do it that way. And you can also, it wouldn't hurt it some to water it in a little bit too, because that's, you got to get down where that soil level is, so it's going to go to work keeping those weeds from emerging. So, in any event, you're on the right track. And I, quite frankly, if you've got the atrazine and you've got the time, I think I would do it between, you know, at least by the weekend. I think that would be absolutely
yeah.
the ideal time to do it.
Dan, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate that. Hey,
man,
you know,
we really
going to take a quick break. We will be right back with more on the Garden Line.
Spring is right around the corner, and it's time to get your favorite weekend activities underway. It all starts with a stop at Barnes Feed Store. Now is the time to get your hands dirty planting all your favorite flowers and vegetables in the garden. What are you growing this year? Barnes Feed Store has been helping gardens grow better for generations. You'll be sure to have the best smelling backyard, too, while grilling those burgers on your Big Green Egg. Now you can get the Big Green Egg and all its accessories at Barnes Feed Store. Get your gardening, grilling, pet supplies, and so much more at Barnes Feed Store in Ensley on Old Palafox.
Business owners, when I say digital marketing, what comes to mind? Are you instantly overwhelmed? Don't be. Hey, I'm Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director for ADX Digital, and I totally get the overwhelm, but I'm here to help. It's easy to get overwhelmed as a business owner. You're constantly pulled in every direction. When it comes to marketing, you need somebody you can trust, a partner, one that's here locally, that knows your business, knows your market, and knows how to create successful marketing campaigns that drive traffic and produce results. Your marketing partnership begins here. Make today the last day you feel overwhelmed. ADX Digital is proud to be a sister company to your local favorite radio stations, including Cat Country, News Radio, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. At ADX Digital, we'll work with you and your team to create a customized digital marketing partnership tailored exactly to your business to achieve your goals. Don't waste another day. Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
I'm Escambia County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer Amber Southard. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for ECSO News on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Your Escambia County Sheriff's Office will be discussing lots of topics, and we'd love for you to call in with questions or join us in our conversation. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back.
Woo!
And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Fox News, every 30 minutes, 24/7.
It's a hearing he never got in 2016.
Most trusted, most watched, and in Pensacola, most heard.
Merrick Garland, a one-time Supreme Court nominee, now in line to be Attorney General.
Merrick Garland is promising to supervise the prosecution of white supremacists and others who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, he says in an opening statement for the Senate Judiciary Committee.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Jenna Barr with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. And if you have any questions, we have them coming in. Please, we're going to get to them. 437-1620. We love to hear from you. Our next listener would actually like to know, can you water the same day you put the atrazine on, or should you wait a day?
I think you could go ahead and do it, but I think I would go ahead and wait a day, because obviously you're mixing a lot of water with it as you spray.
Okay.
But then the next day, I think watering is just going to be fine. But that's a great question, because it takes us into March and April when we've done all the pre-emergence weed control, the atrazine, that's all done. But the weeds that are left, the broadleaf weeds that are there, will probably need to be treated. And that is one of the chemicals I like is Trimec. There's some other ones out there. That one you do not want to water in because you literally want, let's say you have dollar weed, you're spraying, and you want that chemical to kind of sit on that foliage of the dollar weed in order to be absorbed into the roots. So you don't want to put your post-emergence weed killer on, which we probably will do in March and April, and water that in. So you would let that stay dry for a couple of days.
Okay.
And then water.
Okay. So kind of dry it out a little bit. All right. That's good. Hey, we have Dan on the line again. Dan has another question for you.
All right, Dan.
You're ready.
Dan.
Okay. I got some of those magnolias, not the southern magnolia, but the ones that are trying to bloom now.
The Japanese
you know,
magnolia.
Underneath
yeah.
them, they have a. Yeah, they have those woody, invasive plant tree things that grow up. I've been digging them up. Can I atrazine around the perimeter of that tree, or I need to stay outside the limb line?
That's you know, Dan, you need to come in studio. You've got the greatest questions. I mean, so timely. You hit it right on the head. Do not spray underneath that tree or really any tree or any shrub because you just could do damage to it. I'd go to the drip line and maybe even just a little bit further if you could because you just don't want to do that because that atrazine is pretty strong stuff. One of the greatest indicators, we've talked about this for years on the Garden Line, of what atrazine can do. Look at if you ever got atrazine underneath a fig tree. I just remember seeing this, and it absolutely will make the leaves just mottle up. They look like they're variegated. It's horrible what it will do to a fig tree. If it'll do it to a fig tree, it'll do it to other plants also. So pre-emergence herbicides, and really even the post-emergence herbicides, keep them away from shrubs and trees. That's really important.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan, so much for calling
Dan.
Again. We enjoy those. Hey, a faithful listener, we love to hear from
man, that's
you.
That's the truth.
I love it. And you know what? I was actually just thinking because we're trying to figure out how to grow grass in the shade, like a shadier part of our yard. Is it better to just do sod and then keep up with it?
Well, that's another great question.
Oh, look at me.
You're right on. All lawn grasses, I mean, St. Augustine, centipede, zoysia, Bermuda, you call it, are full sun plants. That's what they want. That's what they like. They love the full sun. Now, I've always used this kind of ratio here, and it's not probably very technically true, but if you've got 50% shade, you're going to have nice 50% grass.
Right.
30% shade, you may get 70% grass. Point is that if you have shade, you're going to have trouble growing grass. And the denser the shade, the harder it is for that grass to grow. Now, whenever we do this and have these kind of discussions, people will say, Mike, he said, my neighbor has got this huge oak tree with a lot of shade, and his grass looks gorgeous. Well, a lot of these times, that grass has been there for years and years and years, and that tree, when they put the sod in, or however they put it in, sprigged it or sodded it or whatever, the tree may not have had that much shade. But as they grew together, they kind of that grass acclimated to that shade very gradually as that tree got older and bigger.
Okay, I've seen that.
So,
yes.
So that's one of the answers to that.
Okay.
But
awesome.
Some grasses are better than others. Floratam, St. Augustine, for example. Floratam is because it was developed by the University of Florida and Texas A&M. That's why they called it Floratam. In my opinion, in my experience, is absolutely horrible. Insofar as shade tolerance is concerned.
Okay.
So I wouldn't go there. But St. Augustine still is the grass. If you have some shade and you're just going to try it anyway.
Go for it.
St. Augustine is what I would do.
Awesome. And, hey, we have Vernon on the line. Vernon, what's your question?
Hey, good morning. folks. Japanese blood good trees. I have two of them. I planted them back in last July in the summer. And I covered them through the couple hard freezes we had over the winter. And did what I can do to keep them alive. Of course, the leaves falling off and whatnot. I'm trying to figure out if they're still alive.
That's,
I mean, they look good. I mean, but there's no leaves on them. I'm sure that's just the dormant phase. But
well, that's a good question. A couple ways to check that is obviously you get a little knife and go scrape the bark. If it's green,
okay,
then you may be in pretty good shape. A lot of plants, and let me give you an example. I have a hibiscus. My hibiscus has nothing but brown leaves, and they're sticking on the plant. That plant is dead as a doornail. It's just as simple as that. But when a plant sloughs off those leaves, when they fall off, many times they'll come back, because by the same token, I have a croton, which has dropped every leaf. It's just bare sticks. Well, I would wager that in the spring, I might have a chance on that croton coming back. We got down to 24 degrees, so kind of all bets are off as to exactly what's going to come back. But the point is, and this is very important, don't do anything. Just wait. Wait it out. Don't do any pruning. Don't do any cutting back. We're here headed into March, and we'll know soon enough whether some of these plants are going to recover from the cold, or some of them are just ones we'll have to do away with and start all over again. But I would scrape that bark and see if it looks green, and then let's get into March and April and see what happens. Wow. That's how I would approach it.
Yes, Vernon, thank you so much for
calling. Thanks, Vernon.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. If you're in the market for a pre-owned car or truck, there's only one place in Pensacola I recommend. My friends at Frontier Motors. I love that these guys still do business the old-fashioned way. No pushy salespeople, no fake sale prices, no hidden fees, and no haggling. If you don't love one of the 300-plus cars in their inventory, they'll go above and beyond to track down the perfect vehicle for you and your family. Frontier also offers free appraisals, free Carfax reports, and free advice on buying and selling a vehicle. And if you're ready to get rid of debt and sell the car, take your vehicle to Frontier, and they'll get you a bid in writing in 15 minutes. Folks, there's only one place to call when you're buying or selling a car, Frontier Motors. Check them out at FrontierMotorsInc.com. That's FrontierMotorsInc.com. And remember to tell them Dave sent you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
They say it should be impossible for bumblebees to fly because their wings are too small for their bodies. But bumblebees don't care. They just fly. Bright Expectations is dedicated to helping our Florida residents with special needs and unique abilities find the resources, support, and inspiration that they and their families need to break barriers and achieve their dreams. Visit www.brightexpectations.com to start your journey today.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Garden Line this morning. It's a busy morning, but you know what? We have another caller on the phone. Gabe from Pensacola, welcome to the Garden Line. What's your question?
Okay. My very favorite plant in the yard is the Lily of the Nile. And I would like to know what I need to be doing in order for that Lily of the Nile to make its best bloom.
I would do, at this point, I would do nothing. I would just let it go. How's the foliage look? Does the foliage still look okay?
Yes, it kind of took a beating with that last freeze.
I agree.
And
I agree.
Last year.
Right. Well.
Last.
Okay, Gabe. I'm going to talk about that when we get back, but that is Agapanthus, which is a great, great perennial plant. We need to talk about that, but for now, quite frankly, I wouldn't do anything.
All right, and you know what? We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll answer those questions. Let's check in with Mark Jacobs.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The first Senate hearing about the January 6th riot at the Capitol has started. Today's witnesses are the former chief of U.S. Capitol Police and the House and Senate sergeants at arms. They've all resigned. Also, the acting Washington, D.C. police chief.
Congressional officials still want to know how, after the Capitol Police made an urgent request for aid from the Pentagon, it took an hour just to hear back. They also want to know why the Pentagon brass told the Capitol Police they opposed the optic of the military guarding the Capitol.
Fox's Chad Pergram. Two more of President Biden's cabinet nominees have Senate confirmation hearings today.
Republicans have launched a full court press against Javier Becerra's nomination to lead Health and Human Services. Democrats are expected to defend Becerra as a proven leader who has fought to provide quality health care for all Americans. The Senate is also taking up the nomination of Deb Haaland to take over the Interior Department.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 9:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 59, mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Gas prices up 15 cents this week compared to last, reaching the highest level Florida's seen in more than a year. And AAA's Mark Jenkins says you can blame those refinery outages in Texas after that big winter freeze.
Crude oil prices increased, and we're still even seeing some increases on the stock market today. So there's a good chance that we could even see another hike this week of a few cents, maybe even up to 5 cents. It's hard to say.
Says the prices won't go down anytime soon either, as more people are driving because there's a COVID-19 vaccine, and refineries are also starting to switch over from winter to summer fuel blends. The next mayor's neighborhood cleanup in Pensacola is this coming weekend. On Saturday, city sanitation customers in the East Pensacola Heights area and portions of surrounding neighborhoods can leave eligible items at the curb for pickup. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Warming quickly into the 60s as you head into the afternoon. Mostly sunny skies today, turning into mostly clear nights overnight. That low tonight falling near 44 degrees. For Wednesday, sunny skies at high near 68 degrees with light and variable wind. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
It's 59 in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, also in Milton at 9:33. Our next news at 10 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Tech stocks are sharply lower, triggered by a spike in bond yields. The Dow Industrial's down 167 at 31,354. The NASDAQ's down a sharp 308. The S&P 500 is off 37. Johnson & Johnson says it plans to have enough doses of its vaccine for more than 20 million people by the end of March if it's authorized by the FDA this week. The vaccine, unlike those from Pfizer and Moderna, requires only one dose and regular refrigeration. J&J says it remains on pace to have 100 million doses by the end of July. How much higher can oil prices climb this year? Well, Goldman Sachs now forecasts the price to hit $75 a barrel by summer, $10 above its prior forecast, and $77 by the spring due to lower expected inventories and higher marginal costs. The IRS is giving all Texas residents and businesses an additional 2 months to file their federal income taxes, now due June 15th. That's Your Money Now.
And now, with a step back in the archives of Pensacola News, here's John Appleyard.
February the 23rd, 1836, from Pensacola City Council headquarters, this is News Radio 1620, and now also on FM 92.3. Last evening's council gathering centered on one subject, action to protect the springs serving the residents as our water supply. In the past weeks, there have been several reports of mischief at the springs, one of which is at Palafox and Garden Street, the other along Washerwoman's Creek. None of the events were serious, but they were in violation of city ordinances against the hazarding the health of the people. Mayor Charles Evans and the councilman agreed that they would work with the sheriff's people seeking more patrol of the spring areas, and saying also that new signage would be posted at the springs themselves and in prominent places around the city. The ordinance now in place calls for a $10 fine and possible 7-day imprisonment for any action against the safety and purity of the springs. Sheriff Lomencio Commons, when contacted by this station, said that he will cooperate fully with the city officials. This is John Appleyard for News Radio 1620.
Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera, whatever.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to The Garden Line. Do you love it? I told you.
That is so cool. When I was a little girl, I asked what I wanted to be. So you wanted to be a talk show host.
That's, and I did say that, and look at that, dreams come true.
It does come true, I'm telling you.
And I get to hang out with wonderful people like you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And
this is fun.
We have so many questions. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I want to tap back on to what Gay was asking.
Yeah, let's just talk about Gay's question very quickly. Lily of the Nile is a great perennial for our area. Right now, it's just got these medium, I'm going to say it's growing maybe 12 inches, maybe a little bit more, depending on how old it is. But it's going to send up those gorgeous stalks of blue flowers in the spring. It's just a great plant. It's called Agapanthus. That's the other name for it. But it really is a good plant. I even put a few in my front flower bed because I like the foliage. I like the way the foliage looks, but the blooms are a real bonus also.
Beautiful.
So it's a great plant. Look into that, because we did have a question about some perennials to plant. And this is a great time to plant many of your perennials. And your local garden center has probably got them over the place. Of course, two of my favorite Pensacola perennials are daylilies, which are great, and Gerber daisies. Those are two really, really fun perennials that do so well in our area. So daylilies and gerbers, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. What we may do next week, if we have time, is maybe go through a little short list of perennials that would really be good, because it's probably a pretty good time to plant them, and I would certainly check in with my local garden centers on that.
Right, and make sure that they can withstand our humidity, our sun here, because it's going to start
absolutely
warming up.
And some of those perennials are really nice, but they're going to bloom a very short period of time. And so you need to kind of look at it from your overall landscaping, because as we get into the spring, there's so many annuals, everything from begonias, petunias to marigolds, you know, some of the basic vinca, that type of thing, that you may want to put in there so you'll have color all summer, whereas some of these perennials are going to bloom and then they're not going to bloom anymore.
Okay.
So you might want to just make that decision. And really, quite honestly, a mixture of both is always fun.
Yes.
You know, have some perennials that are blooming, have the annuals that are there.
You layer.
Layer.
Yes.
Exactly.
I heard a term for it the other day when I was watching HGTV, and I don't remember anymore what they said. But I do have a question, which I'm wondering, too, just from driving around town, seeing all the different crepe myrtles. And I know we talk about this a lot, but is now a good time to trim them? Should we let them go? I see people trim them down to the stumps.
Well, trimming them down to the stumps, as we all know, is not good. It's just not the way to
Plus
do it.
It looks weird when they grow back.
No, but I will tell you this. I am, at my age, I don't do ladders.
So yes, we've talked about that.
So I have a young man that helps me prune back my crepe myrtles, and we just did it last week.
Oh, okay.
Just did it last week. So, no, if you haven't done it, go ahead and do it, because I am, you know, I want to prune back some of that new growth from last year, about 50% of that, and that's what we did. And he did a great job, and I think they'll be well-formed and plenty of blooms, and I think he That's the way to do it. But timing-wise, yes, I would say right now is the perfect time to do it if you haven't already done it. But don't How many times do we say this? Don't commit crepe murder.
No.
It just does not make an attractive looking tree.
Oh my goodness. It looks like something out of the Harry Potter books. It just really does. I drive around and I'm like, oh my goodness, that poor tree.
Well, you know, and talking about the Harry Potter deal, you know, that's very true, because when you do cut it back to the nub, the new growth, it'll put on new growth, and they call that the witch's broom effect.
Oh, see? Look at me.
So you're right on. You're right on with a Harry Potter.
That's all I can see when I look at it. And hey, our other listener would like to know, now please don't let me butcher this, I have a calabrosia. Is that correct? What is that?
I don't know.
Okay. It's a calibrosia. Baskets. How do you say that?
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
Maybe I'm spelling it. Spell it again.
It's a C-A-L, so Cali, and then B-R-O-C-H-O-A. Maybe I need better glasses.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure exactly what that is.
And you're teaching us something. And if you have a picture, you can text it into us as well.
Calabrosia. Okay. It sounds like how you pronounce
it. Listen, I was trying to add a little bit, I don't know, Italian something. I don't know.
I bet you a dime to a dollar that our best friend ever, Catherine, is listening. And I bet you she would know what that is.
Yes. Catherine even texted us a beautiful picture as well of a camellia. And our friend here says they're kind of like tiny petunias. And can you keep them blooming by cutting them back or using a fertilizer? So I guess they're in like the petunia family.
Exactly. And you probably can kind of deadhead them, kind of pinch the blossoms off once they're spent, once they're no good anymore.
Okay.
And then, of course, as we get into March, use some good blooming plant fertilizer. And I think those are what that would bring them back, if anything.
Okay.
I'll have to do some research on exactly what it is. I bet you anything we know that by another name. So we'll check it out.
Wow. Yes. You know, and I see like my little plants and even my petunias, they took a little bit of a hit, even though I tried to keep them warm inside in the sun when I could. They did take a little bit of a hit in that cold last week. And so I just pinched off a couple of the wilted flower heads.
Exactly. That's the way to do it.
And
exactly.
I'm hoping that they'll just come back to life.
70 degree days, you're going to see a lot of things come back relatively quickly, I do believe. I'm hoping.
Yes. Well, I mean, put them in the sun, get them
out there, right?
Make
Fresh
sure
air.
They have water. Mm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I'm hoping that my roses catch on to the weather and start blooming as well, because I miss seeing those beautiful yellow blooms that
did
I get.
Did you cut them back?
I did.
Good.
I did
good.
Cut them back, and I just, they're really good. It's funny. I didn't know I had to cut roses back until I met you. And so I've kind of been letting her go like I do with my hair, and she just kept thriving, and I think I lucked out, and now I know what to do. And so that's the point of the garden line, is being able to teach you, and also you teach us. I mean, we're learning something new here every day as well. So keep those texts, keep those phone calls coming, 437-1620, and we'll be sure to see your pictures as well that you're sending in.
Right, while we were talking about roses, I want to tag on to what the good folks from Blue Sky Landscaping said last week when they called us. We were talking about knockout roses and talking about all the traditional roses, from tea roses, grandiflora, floribundas, all that stuff. And they said, don't forget about drift roses.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. Drift roses are a combination of miniature roses and knockout roses. And they're smaller growing, lower growing, I should say. But from Blue Skies, as many of the people I know have had amazing success with those. Maybe in the forefront of a flower bed. You know, like you were talking about layering a minute ago.
Yes.
Maybe, don't forget drift roses as you're out looking at roses, and you're going to see knockout roses everywhere. And trust me, knockout roses are fabulous. But the same people that developed knockout roses developed drift roses. And so might want to look into that as a possibility. And I would think a drift rose would do pretty good in a container. I think you might be nice in a big pot.
Okay.
Interesting to try that.
So when you're potting plants, this is my own question. Do you need to, when you layer them and you put like the lower greens and then you have some color in the middle and maybe some lighter greens up top, do you want them all to be in the same family, as in like full sun, adequate water? You want them to be the same, right?
Absolutely. For example, you probably don't want to plant, and I'm hoping we had time to talk about that today. We may not. You don't want to plant a red caladium bulb next to periwinkle.
Okay.
Because periwinkle vinca, if you will, is going to take full blaring hot all day summer sun. The caladium is going to take some shade. It's going to take semi-shade. And so they really should not be planted right next to each other, be it in the full sun or in the full shade. One's a shade plant, one's a sun plant. So you need to look at that. There's no question about it, because a lot of plants do better in the shade than they do in the sun, and vice versa.
See, that's okay. We're learning something every couple of minutes here. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems. Daryl's also carries a large selection of sewing machine furniture. Financing is available. For more information, call them at 438-5444. Daryl Sewing is located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess in Pensacola, or register online at sewinginpensacola.com.
The Crew of Sparta, All Crew Humanitarian Food Drive Challenge for Manna, and the Impact 100 Virtual Membership Drive. We're everywhere you are because we're local, and we live here too. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From Home Improvement with Gary Sullivan to Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. From Garden Line with Mike Wiggins to The Weekend with Joe Pags. The best variety of talk every weekend is on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the little birds on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, 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 rockin' Robin, tweet,
tweet. Welcome back, okay. Friends.
All right, it's trivia time here. Now, we're testing my memory here,
okay.
Which sometimes is questionable. Bobby Day.
Yes, you
Bobby
nailed it.
Bobby Day sings Rockin' Robin. You told me
Robin.
That last week, and
yes.
It registered with me.
It's one of my kids' favorite songs, Dance With Them, when they were babies. It's a great song for a day like today. You're looking at this sunshine. You know it's going to be warm. It's already starting to warm up, and we're getting a break from the cold, I hope, for a really long time. So, and we looked at those pictures of the Calabrosia, by the way, when we were on break. If you're just listening or tuning in to listen in, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm Jenna Barr, and we have tons of questions, and one of them was about a Calabrosia, so we're learning something new, and Mr. Wiggins has a couple things to say about that, just to make sure it's not another thing.
Well, it's interesting. We looked it up on, we Googled it, and the Calabrosia, it looks great. It looks like it's a perennial. It's a perennial, which means it's going to come back every year. It had a little look on the internet, kind of like a Mexican petunia, mm-hmm. which you see around town a lot, which are invasive.
Oh, good.
You don't want to plant
we
that.
We love invasive
I'm not saying
things.
That's what Calabrosia is, but we do need to do a little research on that to see exactly what we're talking about.
Sure.
But thank you. You know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of plants, and to learn about a new one is always fun.
Oh, yes. And
this one may not be new. It's just new to me.
New to us. That's okay. And, Catherine, thank you so much. I just want to say thank you for sending in all these beautiful pictures of the camellia plants and trees that you're seeing all over town. I see at UWF you have one. It looks like on your kitchen counter. Thank you so much for sharing that with us here on the Garden Line. We love to see your pictures of success
or
findings around town.
Absolutely. And Catherine has had major success in the field of horticulture. I can assure you of that.
One day we're going to get her in here.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I don't know if Catherine was listening last week when we used her book that she gave us from the trustees of the Savannah Gardening Club.
That's right.
And they had some great stuff we used last week. And so, Catherine, thanks. That was a great book. It is a great book. I still have it on my desk.
It comes in handy, right?
Oh, no question about that. Maybe we'll look up Calabrosia.
There you go. Look at that.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Who needs Google?
Who needs it? It's a passing fad anyway.
I enjoy being able to look. And who looks inside of an encyclopedia or a dictionary anymore and, like, uses their hands? I make my kids do it. I refuse to allow them to depend on Alexa or Google the time.
If you look at my age, you know the gift we used to give all our friends who had high school graduates?
Was the encyclopedia, right?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. My parents did it, too.
The big Webster's Dictionary.
Yes, I still have one.
I know.
It's probably outdated.
I was just going to say. No, nobody needs that anymore.
Oh.
And probably for the better.
That's right.
We okay? We got everybody,
yes.
Everybody's...
So far, keep texting
okay,
in 437-1620.
Okay, one thing I do want to talk about for this time of year also, especially as we get into March and April, is do not forget your ultra-fine oil to spray your landscaping plants with. Many listeners who are of my generation will remember the old Volk oil. It was an ortho product which you mixed up with the water, and you sprayed it on your ligustrum, your camellias, your boxwoods, azaleas, all of those. And what it does, it's an oil spray, very organic, no toxic chemicals involved there. We use the Volk oil. Well, things have been improved, and now the Volk oil has morphed into the ultra-fine oil. Same principle. You spray, let's say, a ligustrum, which is a great hedge plant, big green leaves, wonderful plant for Pensacola. You spray the ligustrum because they have a tendency to get scale underneath the leaves. You turn the leaf over, and you got a bunch of white specks on there, which are insects, which are just literally sucking the juices out of that plant and can eventually do some damage. Well, this ultra-fine oil is going to smother those scale. That's why you've got to have a sprayer that gets underneath the leaves. You can't just spray it on top of the leaves. It's got to get underneath the leaves. And as we get into March and April, when the temperatures really are 80 and below during the day and above freezing at night, which is a pretty large, a lot of big parameters there, don't forget the ultra-fine oil. It's something that our grandparents, it was just sort of a rite of spring. They did it. Everybody sprayed with Volk oil back then. Well, not so much now. So it's something that you do need to do if you want to really keep all of your landscape plants healthy.
Does it come in the sprayer already, or do you recommend mixing it?
I think you're probably going to have to mix it, yeah.
Putting it into the sprayer?
And I think a good way to do it is with a pump-up sprayer,
yes.
Like a one-gallon sprayer. And that way you've got that long wand that you can stick into the plant, and it'll get underneath those leaves. So that's where the problem is. And I'll tell you one plant, Jenna, that really gets that scale bad is a sago palm. You turn some of those leaves over, and sometimes it looks like it's been in a snowstorm.
Right.
And so that's... that ultra-fine oil is a great solution for that. As you get into the season, when it gets really hot, you really don't want to use it if you're at 90, 95 degrees. You'll use other insecticides to control that. But for the spring, and matter of fact, for the fall too, like in October, every October, every spring, you should use that ultra-fine oil. It's just something to keep in mind as the weather warms and we move into the spring.
Okay. Now, when we're talking about sprayers, I just for my own sanity, I'd label everything. So make sure you're labeling your sprayers too. If you're using different chemicals, I wouldn't recommend mixing different chemicals in different sprayers. It's just better to have one. Write it down. This is your fine oil one. This is your fertilizer.
Well, that you're absolutely right. Because the worst thing you could do is to take that sprayer, which you've used your weed killer in, to go spot kill weeds, and then you put in your liquid fertilizer to fertilize your petunias. that's a recipe for disaster.
What's happening?
don't do it.
Grab
and those,
the Sharpie.
And those sprayers nowadays have gotten pretty inexpensive. They're not that expensive. Just get a 1-gallon pump-up sprayer, and the wand and all that come with it. and you know, all our gardens know all of this. But it's yes, I would have a Lee, if nothing else, to keep the weed killer sprayer separate. Now, if you've got to put out a fungicide, say in your St. Augustine grass, okay, and you wash it out and put an insecticide in it, you could use the same sprayer. But keep that weed killer separate.
Okay. All right.
That's the key.
That is a note right there. Hey, it's a good reminder, just because, especially in the wintertime when you're maybe not using everything right now, it's just, I like organization. I talked about it yesterday, and it's just better because I would accidentally spray it, and then there would be no more flowers.
But yeah. Well, and nowadays,
we want to keep them around.
You know, and it takes a lot of time to put those flowers in, and nowadays, they're not cheap.
No.
So you got to protect what you've got.
Yeah, protect
sure.
your work, you know, and hey, we're going to take a quick break. Stick around. If you have any questions, keep them coming. We'll be right back.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Sunbelt Conference Basketball is bringing March Madness to Pensacola. Be there March 5th through the 8th as all 12 men's and women's teams compete for the championship. Which team will reign supreme? Get your tickets today and be there for the excitement. Tickets are as low as $15 for two sessions. Kids tickets start at $5. Experience March Madness, Pensacola style, and cheer your team on to victory. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body liner. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake
Mike,
it all the time.
I think this is a really good song for while you're out Sinora, there mowing your lawn, trimming your
I agree. Now, I can normally tell you who's doing this that music. I have no idea who that is.
Okay. It's I can't say his last name. I think it's Belafonte is what I say, but Harry Belafonte. I'm pretty sure there's
Harry,
a
oh,
tay.
Yeah, Harry Belafonte. Oh, yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yeah,
well,
he's famous.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty
back
sure.
Back in my generation, yeah.
Listen, it's a good sunny day song.
That's no question. All right, I want to end up with this. We talked last week about a big lily pad-looking plant
yes.
that was downtown. Okay. And we finally got it all
the
up identified.
The tractor seat leaf plant.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tractor seat plant, leopard plant.
Yes.
Is what it is. But here's something that's really fun. There are different varieties of this. I just found this out. Okay. There's Gigantium. Gigantium has big, big leaves. And it's the same thing, the leopard plant. But it's the variety of the leopard plant is Gigantium. There's one called Last Dance that leaves have some real sharp points on it. But here's the one you need to plant, Jenna. You ready?
I'm ready.
And really not, you don't need to plant it because of you. I do. It's called, this is a variety of the leopard plant, Bad Hair Day.
Listen,
Bad
I
Hair
told
Day
you I let my hair go
has,
today.
Has fluffy, curled edges that some people call it the parsley leopard plant. But the Bad Hair Day. I thought that was somebody.
Is amazing.
Somebody, whoever named these things, who
knows? Are we letting do this?
Exactly. Now, this was the leopard plant, of course, is a shade plant. And I have a whole list of shade plants maybe to talk about next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, everybody, for calling today. We really, great questions. We appreciate it.